Welcome to a new key, Riptides of Opportunity, and Are You Confusing Your Team? This is Aviv, and here is my first question to you today. How is 2011 going for you so far? Are you making the progress you envisioned? Market observers like to say that as January goes, so goes the year, with above 80% accuracy over the last 100 years. The reason for this is that large institutions place their bets and shape the trends for the year. Our focus here is not on the financial markets, but on wise leadership and transformative strategy. In this, we too try to decipher the archetypal character, the plot, or the pattern of the year. If January tells the story of the year, the theme for 2011 may be Riptides of Opportunity. I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but the pattern implies that what presents itself as a dangerous threat for some is the current of opportunity for others. Now, there are three things about riptides. The first is that the riptide can surprise you without warning. Think surprising opportunities. The second is that the riptide can build momentum under the surface and be invisible. Think greater scale, scope, and possibility. And the third is you don't fight a riptide. You go with the flow and you use the current's own energy. In the case of opportunity riptide, you need not escape it by swimming parallel to the shore prematurely. You take your time and discover the greater depth of the opportunity. Think adaptive, agile, and counterintuitive approaches. Now let's turn to the key. Are you confusing your team? Have you found that even when you're talking with a group of exceedingly smart people, the conversation can be exceedingly stupid? In this key, you will discover why 76% of meetings are suboptimal and ineffective, and what you can do to dramatically improve your meetings. Some of the executives I work with claim that it's much worse, that it's 95% of meetings that are suboptimal. I bet you've been with groups of highly capable individuals that produced suboptimal results. We probably all have been in these situations. They include business meetings where the conversation wanders in circle, goes off topic, and fails to find practical resolutions. If you're a team leader, you need to ask, am I confusing my team? Framing conversations is one of the most important things you do as a leader. In my work, I am asked to help teams of bright executives develop strategy, improve collaboration, accelerate transformation, and deliver breakthrough results. How do we help turn suboptimal engagements into breakthroughs? What is the game changer? The key is framing conversations and choreographing the process. That's how the collective intelligence and collaborative ROI is found. When the results are not larger but smaller than the sum of the individual parts, the process is out of whack. Now picture this. Five brilliant managers are sitting around the table. Each one of them has an IQ of 200 or higher. They are tasked to come up with a new strategy that will help the organization step up to a bigger game and create a series of breakthroughs. What do you suppose is the sum total IQ that is focused on the problem? You would expect five 200 IQ types would bring together a collective IQ of, say, 1,000 or perhaps even more. That's off the IQ charts. But in 7 out of 10 situations, they operate at a collective IQ of about 300 or even lower. Instead of adding together their intelligences, they lose 70% of their capacity. Somehow, they seem to negatively handicap each other's brilliance, rather than enhance their individual contributions. Instead of generating collective smarts and wisdom, they generate collective stupidity. In certain situations, they reduce the collective output to 100 IQ or even below. We hear about these situations when they lead to systemic meltdowns or explosions, like, for example, in the Deepwater Horizon explosion in the Gulf. More often than not, the root cause can be traced to a dysfunctional team where instead of exponentially becoming smarter, people create the collective stupidity phenomenon. The reasons for dysfunctional teams are multiple, but let's redefine work first. If your work does not involve repetitive manual labor, the essence of your work is connecting conversations. That's what you do. You get up in the morning and you go to work to help connect conversations. If this is not in your job description, it ought to be. The sales function is a process of connecting a conversation of need with its fulfillment. Purchase and supply chains, R&D and marketing are each connecting conversations across the value chain, as are all other service functions. So how do you create value? Well, to create value, you accelerate the conversation. You clarify the conversation, you connect a broken conversation, and you translate the conversation into insight that guides action. Some functions are conversations that communicate critical data. Other functions are conversations that turn data into insight that informs decision and guides action. If the essence of work is to connect conversations and distill insights that guide decisions and actions, then the efficacy of work is defined by your ability to, number one, decipher which conversation you're in, and number two, design the conversation to create optimal results. Okay, so what's the 3.2 billion factor? It's amazing how ineffectual a team of highly capable people can become when they reduce their collective output to 100 IQ or 10% of their capacity, as in the case of the 5 brilliant managers. The first dysfunction is not listening and not hearing each other. The second dysfunction is being unable to collaborate. The third dysfunction is the focus of this key, and it is mixing three conversations, the diagnostic, the prescriptive, and the explorative conversations. The exponential power of 200 multiplied five times is 3.2 billion. That's right, 3.2 billion IQ. That's the breakthrough output of a team of five 200 IQ types and what they can generate when they're in the collaborative zone. They listen and hear each other, they connect the conversations, and deeply appreciate ideas and possibilities. And they are highly aware of the context and the nature of the conversation they are in. They differentiate the diagnostic, the prescriptive, and the explorative conversations. Because they clearly realize that diagnostic discussion is describing where you experience pain or vulnerability, that the prescriptive conversation is talking about the optimal resolution, and that explorative conversation is envisioning plausible futures. They understand that each of these conversations can diverge and then converge to help the team coalesce to create clarity and forward the action. Your strategy formulation and implementation is accelerated by differentiating and leveraging these three different conversations. Now it's your turn. Turn the key. Frame the conversation. Foster clarity and forward the action. Cultivate collaboration. Catalyze innovation. And create dramatic new futures for you and for your people.